Blog Talk Radio.
Contagious kamikaze style flash like a from ignition to your body sound class. Put it a class magna cum laude beats. Bring the beast out me. Flavor foul rowdy read type of deep type. Disposition keep on flipping, keep on playing their position. Keep making the people listen what I spend. Put them out on the limb. Got tears, got blood, got sweat. Leaking out of the pen. Your face not setting the trend. You never listen to them. It's like trying to take a in the wind. My home team doing visitors in. You don't trust them. They all standing close to the edge. So don't stress them. Now who the type built the last? It's no question, the master, villain in black. With no steps in my sound, hitting you hard from every direction. Your head and your shoulder, area your midsection.
Yeah, when it's playing on time, with the nine, one, one, with the niggas, it's mine. With King Kong, nigga Kong, man, give it here. And don't say nothing, just give it here. And don't say nothing, when the thing on the track, with the blunt, I'm going back, hit the plan, huh? Let the thing, cut the check, give it here, give it here. Don't say nothing, say nothing, give it here. And don't say nothing, say nothing.
Yeah, Ella Dow, home of the original. Out on the wrong corner, your shit'll get spun backwards. You got the forewarning, the rules. Enter at risk of your own nana. Keep it under the mattress. Shorty's running reckless from Philly to Texas. Surprising with willing to do to get a necklace. Some emotions felt better left unexpressed at times. Crime record longer than a guest list. Yes, I done seen things you wouldn't believe. Seen people reach levels thought they never achieved. Silhouettes waiting in the wings ready. Thirsty sights who need at least a buck to breathe. Come on. Kids, they be out to tax. Most times they do without the I still be on the grind when it all collapse. And if it's mine, words bond, I'ma take it right back.
When it's playing on down with the 911, with the niggas, it's mine. With King Kong, nigga Kong, man, give it here. And don't say nothing, just give it here. And don't say nothing when the thing on the check. With the blunt, I'm going back, hit the plan, huh? Let the thing, cut the check. Give it here, give it here. Don't say nothing, give it here. Don't say
yeah, it ain't nothing like the rush I get in front of the band. On stage with the planet in the palm of my hand. When a brother transformed from anonymous man to the force. Crush whoever might have thought I was playing. I'm a flame, some sinister. The cold twist is slang thicker than big boy baby mom sister pain. Beyond measure, relax under pressure. You see the masterpiece, but to me it's some perfected. Give it here, get the records. I'm off the handle, cut the check and yo, it better be as heavy as anvil. Next joint coming, all bets canceled. Black ink, Grand Wizard G Financial. We finna had a whole industry at a standstill. See me put the system on lock like Campbell. So get with them endorsements and call reinforcements. Cause my click come a four sizable portion.
When the yeah. Stand on down with the 911, with the niggas is blind, with King Kong, nigga Kong, man. Give it here, and don't say nothing, just give it here. And don't say nothing, when the thing on the check, hit the blunt, I'm going back, hit the plan, huh? Let the thing, cut the check. Don't say nothing, say nothing, give it here, and don't say nothing, come on, come on.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show, The Iowa Truth. My special guest today is Mr. Martin Brown. You got Mark?
Yeah, what's going on, brother? What's going on?
Yeah, good to have you. Good to have you, man. We got a, today the topic is history of religion, paganism, and mythology. So we're going to discuss history of religion going back or right to the original times and try to give people some information and resources they can look up to you know, learn more about their religion. So, my first question to you is, explain who you are and your background.
All right, Martin Brown III from Beaumont, Texas, pretty much Texas raised. Roots of my family is from Louisiana. Mother's maiden name is Glaude, G-L-A-U-D-E, and we trace our roots back to a cat named Francois Glaude. You know what I'm saying? He originally from Africa to France. My father's side, the Brown side, is just deep rooted in Louisiana. I mean, we didn't go back too far, as far as I know, with the family history. But my background itself, high school graduate. Went to mortuary school out of high school. Then I went to truck driving school. I mean, like most knuckleheads, I dabble in the street. So I hustle a little bit. I consider myself well-rounded, you know what I'm saying, as far as book smart, street smart, and my common sense to me is next level. Because it's just some stuff, if it don't make sense to me, then it just don't make sense. And if I can't make no sense of it, then I ain't even going to deal with it. I'm a father. I have 6 kids, 3 grown, 3 little. My oldest is 21. The next is 20. My son is 19. And I have a 9-year-old, 5-year-old, another 5-year-old son. I have 4 girls, 2 boys. So I have a 5-year-old son, a 19-year-old son, and the rest are girls. And my baby is 9 months. So my 3 grown kids, all 3 are in college. 2 juniors, and my son is a freshman. And that's pretty much my background. I mean, last 7 years of my life, I dedicated to knowledge. I cut the TV off. So, I mean, I'll watch football, basketball games, movies here and there. But for the most part, my face is in a book. And that's what it's been for the last 7 years.
Cool. So we're going to dive into this subject, first part of the show. We're basically going to talk about the history of paganism and mythology, you know, mythology that's rooted in religion, you know, from creation to immaculate conception to virgin birth to resurrection to death, resurrection of deities and stuff like that. So based on your knowledge and studying, do you believe all religion is based on paganism and mythology?
All right, let's start with the word pagan first. It's many definitions. I mean, naturally, if you go to Google or in a dictionary, they're gonna give you a religious aspect of it. But at its root, the word pagan it means country dweller or someone, you know, basically that's basically a nomad, someone that doesn't really have a serious foundation. So to consider those people that had a culture and a civilization pagan is ludicrous. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what the European did, and the European, he never had nothing until he came in contact with us. So I mean, like, naturally they paint the picture that Rome and all those places were great places and been great places. But I mean, if you do the history, you'll know that it's not. But to stay completely on subject and not veer too far off, we're going into the paganism. We know that none of our people, you know, the people of the Nile Valley and the people, you know, of India or the people of Asia, none of them was country dwellers. And everything is rooted around what we consider to be, you know, holidays and stuff like that, or holy days, or all these rituals that we've been, you know, basically dealing with throughout our whole lives of this Western world. So, I mean, everything just has to do with the winter solstice, the spring equinox, and all that has to do with high, low tides, rain, season, weather, and ways to grow crop. That's really all it has to do with. It's just based on trying to eat and understanding the way that the weather patterns and the way the stars are going to align, and when the high and low tide, when it's going to rain, when is the rain season, you know, when will the harvest be, stuff like that. I mean, even if you're still a Bible thumper, Jesus always talked about the harvest and the laborers are few, but the harvest is many and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's really all that is rooted around.
So what about this term mythology? I know from my study, man, I've been doing a lot of studying for this show, man, and I've been dedicating the past 6-7 years myself into studying religion, you know, having an understanding on this thing I was indoctrinated into, you know what I'm saying, to have a better understanding of where I come from and what it means to me. And, you know, my thing is, I'm going to jump into this the creation stories. You know, all the creation stories are based off of cosmic mythology, you know, which is creator, creation, and created. And basically, it's a symbolic narrative to explain how the world was created and how people got here. So as I, you know, digging more into it, man, I read up on the Chinese creation, on the Egyptian creation, and the Mayan creation. All of it's still, you know, similar. It's a symbolic narrative. It's explained, you know, how the world got here to people that want to know.
Right.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, my thoughts are pretty much the same as yours, but just to elaborate, I mean, all of the stories come from verbiage, where before we begin to write and before we even had, as many would say, a written and spoken language, all great tales have been told around campfires since the beginning of man. But I think as we develop more, I know for sure, as we develop more, we learn to take those stories and carve them in stone. So then, you know, that's what the old saying is, the truth is written in stone. I mean, that means literal. They ain't saying it as a cliche. It's literal. The truth is written in stone. So I mean, that's how our people begin to develop. Like we understood that there would come a time to where we would need to remember ourselves and need to remember our stories. And naturally, of course, they wanted to let the world know who they were and what they were about. So, I mean, it takes a lot of foresight to be able to see that. I mean, that's not something that you, like, I mean, if you look at, like, to make it easy, if you look at everything that we're doing today, like how you like to take pictures to seal a great moment that you're having, or you want to videotape like your wedding and stuff like that. I mean, that's basically what all our people was doing. We was just doing it in a different way because we didn't have that type of technology back then, even though they had way more technology than we can ever fathom, or that the white man will ever let be known. I say that, you know what I'm saying, that the white man, because it's a lot of shit that been out. They just didn't know how to work it or how to rebuild it. And as time went on, they figured out how to do it. But that's a whole nother subject. I don't want to be off too far. I mean, for the most part of what you're saying, King, is everything, it's a lot of truth in mythology and it's a lot of lies. So I just consider mythology 50-50 or 75-25 because we don't know how much of the truth is within the lies. So, some of it I've uncovered, but all of it I can't say I have.
Well, my thoughts on it is, you know, I think it's a lot of truth in it too, but I think it's a lot of stuff being told to explain, you know what I'm saying, you know, to give a message, not to be taking something that literally happened, you know what I'm saying? So you can go back to, I was reading the second book of Enoch, which is not in the Bible, but they talk about Immaculate Conception, the virgin birth, you know, before Jesus. And it talks about how this guy named Nero, he was Noah's brother, had a wife, and the wife pretty much died giving birth. And it talks about how the child came out full of knowledge, you know what I'm saying, fully clothed, speaking and blessing the Lord, you know what I'm saying? And it was marked with a badge of priesthood. You know, 40 days after, after it was taken, 40 days later, you know, the child was taken by Gabriel to the Garden of Eden. You know, and my thing is, just like, I don't say, like, you know, books of the Bible were lost. I think a lot of them were put in there, you know what I'm saying, for a reason. So they're not lost. It was just, you did
it. Yeah, they're not lost. It was put aside because, what they was doing in the councils, I mean, it was more than just the Council of Nicaea. I mean, naturally, we just learned about the Council of Nicaea. But they had to pick and choose on what they were willing to let the people know. And if you put certain books in there, then it'll give them more foresight. So in order to keep people controlled, you have to keep them at a limitation of knowledge. To keep elaborating on basically the whole thing, we'll be talking about the verbal, the resurrection story and all of those things. I mean, like it's probably stories older than Aset, Asar, and Haru. But in essence, all those stories, they're only talking about you and the ability that you have as a man and as a woman and naturally creating a child. So it's all basically the birth of us as man, woman, and child, or the birth of us as a people. I mean, it's really fairly simple on how we came to be because, I mean, without man, God can never be written or spoken about. So naturally, we're talking about the power within ourselves and how to manifest it, you know, outwardly. But the stories have been taken and just making it like we got some pie in the sky, and none of that is true. I mean, it's hard to get people to really realize that. It's hard to get people to understand that. And it's hard to make people realize some things because so much is unexplainable to us, but yet none of us understand science in depth. And none of us want to even dig into science. None of us want to get into mathematics and quantum physics and stuff like that. I mean, because once you put science on the table, you got to leave your beliefs at the door because now we're going on of what can we prove and this and that. It's okay to have faith. It's okay to believe in some things, but it's better to know. I mean, I would rather know than believe. I can't speak for nobody else, but me, myself, I would rather know than just walk around believing a bunch of stuff and not know.
But you know, the thing about belief, man, belief is belief across the proof. You know what I'm saying? I can give you
right.
A good example. You know, if you call me and tell me, if I call you, matter of fact, and say, hey, man, I'm trying to cook these beans. And you tell me, okay, it normally takes 45 minutes to an hour for them to be done. So 45 minutes later, you call me and say, hey, are the beans done? I said, I believe they are. Not know, you know what I'm saying, without going to check on them. Only way I know if the beans are done, if I go check. So that means me knowing. I have to go find out to know. So with belief, I understand that, you know, people are taught to believe something, you know what I'm saying, and believe without proof. You know, and that's how religion, you know what I'm saying, is so, has such a longevity, you know what I'm saying, with people, because you told to believe something, you know what I'm saying, and you pretty much have to believe it without no proof. So,
yeah. That faith substance hope for things unseen, and belief, I mean, the definition of belief is to accept a statement or a story as if it's true and factual without proof. So, I mean, without proof, you wishing up on a star. I mean, I could tell you that they got pink dragons, but if you ain't never seen one, how you going to believe it?
Exactly. And I think belief has its place, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it has a certain place, you know what I'm saying? But to rely
on like,
belief, man.
For me, this is far as you should take it, and I tell it to my kids. I say, you could be whatever you want, and only you have to believe it. And you have to believe it so strong that you manifest it and make it come true. If you don't believe it, there's no way that it could possibly happen. That's the only belief that you have to have, like in stuff like that. I mean, it's different scenarios that people could bring, but that's pretty much what you want to do with belief. You know, because it's possible to make it happen.
Cool. Let's go on to our next thing. Let's talk about this virgin birth story. Based on your study, and I know my study too, about the Egyptian myth of the birth of Aru, you know, who the Greek called Horus, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Osiris and Isis, whatever. That story, from my understanding, from reading it, whatever. I mean, it was not something to be taken that literally happened. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many virgin birth stories that took place that, you know what I'm saying, is way before the birth of Christ, way before the Mayan times, you know what I'm saying? And way before even the Enoch thing I was telling you about. So, I mean, like, what's your take on that, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, what you studied and what you learned from it and, you know, and what you gather from those kind of things being told?
It's kind of basically, it's like a creation story. So, from my studies, I mean, it's some names I could throw out there, like you was using Aset and Haru and Asar. You're like, you know, because we know that the way that story goes is the evil Uncle Set killed Asar, chopped his body up into 14 pieces, you know, scattered them. Threw his penis in the Nile and it was swallowed by a catfish or a crocodile, whichever one you want to use for the story. And the mother found all the pieces to his body and she never found his penis. And, you know, the whole resurrection has to do with a hard on, you know, because when if everything is functioning right in your body, when the sun rises in the morning, you wake up with what we call a pee hard.
Yeah.
Because that means that everything is functioning correctly. Now, she had to do an immaculate thing to for him to have a penis, and she got pregnant, and that's what we consider the immaculate conception part of the comedic story. The other stories, like the story of let me look at my notes because I don't want to say the wrong name. Some of these names are kind of hard to pronounce.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one artist. One, it's a Hindu poet named Kabir. Now, he was said to be born of a virgin widow through the palm of her hand. You know, he sat down in the river in the basket, you know, just like Moses was, and was found and adopted by a family of Muslim weavers. You know, you can go on and on. You can go Ra, the Egyptian sun god, was born of a virgin. Addis, the Greek vegetation god, was born of a virgin. Dionysus, the Greek half-man, half-born by a virgin. Half-man, half-god, was born by a virgin. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the list is on these version of our stories.
Yeah, it's so many names. Like I'm glad you gave the ones that you gave. Like Panku is from that's the Chinese story. The Mayan story is the guy is Kul Kan. Like, I don't want to pronounce it wrong. And then, but it's two twins in this story. You know, Anapu, which is UNAHPU, and then the other one, I definitely ain't gonna try to pronounce that, is LXBALAMQUE. All of those have to do with basically being born of a virgin, or basically coming from nothing, or just coming from an egg. You know,
most of the cosmic egg in the Chinese one talk about the yin and the yang, or the cosmic
egg. Yeah, the yin and the yang. Yeah, what they call it, the primordial egg, and it's so many stories. I mean, we could go on and on with so many stories that precede Jesus. I mean, all these stories are thousands of years ahead of that. You know, 4,000 to 5,000 years, if not more. You know, like those stories have always been told, but for some reason Christians think they got the only story. I mean, even if you do the story of Prophet Muhammad, it's still of the same thing.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and this can go on, man. You can think about Mithra. Mithra was born of a virgin. Krishna was born of a virgin.
Mithra, Krishna, Dionysus. I mean, we can go on and on.
Yeah.
We can go on and on about the 16 crucified saviors, man.
Yeah.
Even like with Hercules and all those stories.
So all that myth story like that, a lot of those stories that the Greeks got, you know, which they changed Zeus. You know what I'm saying? They got from Egypt. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, that's well spoken of. Dr. Clark breaks that down like very well for a reference for those who like really want to look into it. Dr. Clark, he probably gives the best breakdown. I was trying to think of who else, but I use Dr. Clark, John Henry Clark, for those who don't know who he is. Dr. Ben talk about it, but like Dr. Clark, like you'll find, like if you pulling it up, like for if you just want to listen to a lecture and you go on YouTube, it, like you'll find more stuff of Dr. Clark talking about it than you will find of Dr. Ben speaking on it. But Dr. Ben speak on it in a lot of his books. Now, if you're a bookhead, I believe the book is Africa, the Mother of Western Civilization. That's the book you'll refer to.
Okay, yeah. I got that, too. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about, guys, we're going to give you references, you know what I'm saying, to where you can find those books at. And, like, we're not just talking just to be talking.
The best book on it is by Kersey Graves, though.
Which one is that one?
Kersey Graves, that's who wrote the book 16 Crucified Saviors.
Okay. I haven't got that one yet, but I got pretty much all the Dr. Clark and Dr. Benz and some book from Sheikh Antadia, you know, to talk about the African culture. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah, so Dr. Diop. He speak English, so you'll see him speaking, and he'll have a translator. But he didn't speak English. For those who look into Dr. Sheik and the Diop,
speak French.
Yeah.
So my question, so like growing up for you, I mean, like, did you grew up in the church? I mean, basically, like, you know what I'm saying, like going to church.
Like everybody else.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. I mean, I pretty much, you know, your parents didn't go, you went. You know what I'm saying? It was so traditional, you know what I'm saying, in growing up and, you know, having to go. And my thing is, like, you know, I got baptized at a young age, you know. And the only reason why I did it because I followed my cousins up there. You know, didn't know no understanding, you know what I'm saying, on why I was doing it, you know what I'm saying, and the purpose for it. And I think, you know,
my journey started. Don't mind it.
Okay. For me, my journey started, man, probably about 6-7 years ago. I was curious about, you know, why do I believe what I believe? You know, I want to have understanding on what I believe. And, you know, and I started reading all these books on, you know, from Dr. Clark and, you know, and Dr. Ben. You know, started watching documentaries and started doing a lot of reading on paganism and mythology, man. And the stuff started, you know, started sounding the same, started tying the stuff together. You know, for me, and then I was like, the more I understood it, then I understood the reason for it, you know?
Right. Yeah, when I start studying those fellas, like, they open up my mind to a lot of different things. I mean, being from Texas, being down here in the South in the Bible Belt, I mean, for people that grew up elsewhere, like, if you grew up on the East Coast, then y'all been exposed to it, like, way long before most of us here. Like, if people from here didn't travel up that way and get into it or wasn't a part of some movement somewhere else, you know, like down here, I mean, of course, people naturally say we're a little slower. It's just we get the information a little later. I mean, things are different now, but back in the day, you know, like my parents, I know my parents didn't know nothing about none of that. I mean, they knew about the Panthers and stuff like that. My daddy spoke about that a lot. And, you know, he used to talk about the military a lot because he was in the military. And he would talk about how the brothers from Detroit and Chicago would teach him different stuff. You know, him being from a small town in Louisiana and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I grew up in the church like everybody else, Bible thumping it up.
Well, I've asked a question about this December 25th date. Doing, like, a lot of studying, I said before this, you know, getting to study for what we're talking about today, right? You know, December 25th was, you know, based on what I found, you know, was factual information, that December 25th wasn't necessarily a birthday for these pagan gods, but it was a date they celebrated, you know, just like 325 A.D., you know. Constantine officially adopted December 25th as a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You
right.
know, and move on and on, man. Like this god, Sol Invictus, that the Roman emperor, you know what I'm saying, in 274 A.D. declared December 25th a holiday for their god. So this December
right.
25th date seemed to be pretty common, I mean, based on my own research, you know what I'm saying, and
It's such a common date because it had to do with the winter solstice and understanding what was beginning to happen. Like we know around this time is when it gets the coldest and the days are shorter, so to speak, and the nights are longer. That's why so much is centered around it throughout history. I mean, it's so much stuff that you could, if you just type it in. And we're just, like, if you grab your phone and you ask Google or you ask Siri and you be like, give me the history of the origin of December 25th, so much stuff is going to come up, and then you could just go from there and start deciphering what parts of it that you think are factual and true and what parts of it are just some things that they're adding in. But, I mean, for the most part, it's going to give you pretty accurate information.
Yeah, definitely, man. Because I know doing my research, man, I seen a lot of it, you know, and a lot of it was kind of, some of the stuff you found was kind of false, some of the stuff you found kind of true, because he was talking about Mithra, you know, and the Krishna being born on December 25th, but if you do your in-depth research, they're just a date they chose to celebrate the birthday, just like, you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus. You know, if you go back and read the Bible some more and do a little research on the history, December 25th wasn't actually Christ's birthday, you know what I'm saying? It was just a day that Constantine, you know what I'm saying, declared to be the birth of Christ, you know, because based on the time when the shepherds were supposed to come and stuff like that and the star being in the east, it didn't line up with the time,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, you mean, but it goes back to Kemet, or what everybody called Egypt, when in actuality, it goes back to that. So, like, a brief history on that is we have to understand that the Greeks took over Kemet in 332 BCE. And
right.
then later on, the Romans conquered the Greeks. But the Greeks taught taught the Romans. I mean, naturally, us black people or the Africans or the people of the Nile Valley taught the Greeks. The Greeks taught the Romans, and then the Romans taught the British. And right now, we're still under British rule. And that's the cycle of everything in the history. So, I mean, all you got to do is just dig into it from there to see who was ruling when and why. You know, who came to power. I mean, because naturally, all the white folks, all the Europeans looked at Penn that wasn't as civilized as they was as barbaric. And truthfully, their nature, they're all barbaric. I mean, here in the States, I mean, I'm about to be off subject too much, but it's 23 to 25 states where bestiality is legal. And not many people know that, but I mean, white folks have a certain nature about themselves, and they've always had it. But I mean, that's another topic, and that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole thing with December 25th. So, like right now, if you was to type in some stuff on Google, right now I just typed it in just to do it. It said the first recorded date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25th was in 336 A.D. during the time of the Roman Empire of Constantine. He was the first Christian Roman emperor. So a few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared the birth of Jesus would be celebrated on the 25th. That's just doing a quick Google search. But it's other stuff that pops up, but that's the first one that it gave me on my phone.
Okay. So let's talk about this Constantine guy, man. The guy was pretty rough, man. You know, he killed his wife, he murdered his son, he bought his mother, you know, and this is the guy that pretty much led, you know what I'm saying, the Knights Templars and pretty much the Holy Crusade, you know, where the time when
right.
Christianity was forced on people, you know what I'm saying, either accept Christianity or you die, you know, and for that guy, you know what I'm saying, to be such an influence, you can talk about St. Augustine. St. Augustine, you know, pretty much a big influence on the history of the Bible or writing the Bible, you know, and this guy was, you know, he was born in Africa, but the guy was... He's pretty rough, you know, and you got these people, you know what I'm saying, writing, you know what I'm saying, and people taking what they said, you know, as pretty much as law. But like I said, man, all this mixed stuff, man, like even when I studied the Jews, this book called Moses and Monotheism by Sigmund Freud, they talk about the Jews not being, you know, a monotheistic people in the beginning, how they worshiped this volcano god, you know, called Jehovah, you know, and...
Like speaking of Constantine, not to cut you off, I want to make this point before I forget it, because of what you were saying with Constantine. Like how familiar are you with the Flavius family?
Oh yeah, I read a book about them guys, man. The Piso Papers. I read that book several years ago.
Constantine is he's part of that bloodline. He's the son of Flavius. You know, Valerius, what's the dude? Constantius. That's his father. You know, like that. Right. Like one of them cats was his daddy. And you know, that's pretty much how he came to rule. Like him and another cat, they had a battle. I mean, I know you know the history of it. Him and another cat,
right.
they had a battle, and that's how all the Hellenistic stuff came to be. And, you know, boo. Back in, you know, like he died in Nicodemia. And, I mean, he understood that everybody had a spiritual system or something that they worshiped. So he was like,
right.
The best way to monopolize it was to corner the market on it and enforce it by law and by force with the army. So it was get down or lay down. Either you're going to worship this, or it's off with your head, or whatever. I mean, because the Romans, shit, they studied torture, like they was the masters of torture. So that was their way of enforcing what they had going on. So I mean, a lot of the stories of the Christians being persecuted and stuff like that, a lot of that is really myth, and a lot of that never really happened. But they were torturing a lot of people. So it's not full myth where some Christians didn't get tortured and stuff like that. But the whole thing of it is they was pushing Christianity. So you can't really say Christians were being, you know, crucified and they all this and this was happening to them. Like, you know, like the myth going on, like, you know, They was persecuting Christians for years. You know what I'm saying? Because they believe in, no, that's not what happened. That's not how it was going down. Constantine was going around pushing Christianity. Either you was going to believe in it or you was going to be killed. And that's how it got here. I mean, that's how they end up exterminating the natives, because I'm not going to call them Indians. They're exterminating the natives and stuff like that. Even though Columbus never touched North America, but even in South America, like, if you saw that Red Cross coming, it meant death. Like the scouts came to see what y'all numbers was like, what kind of army y'all had, and then they sent in the cavalry to sweep it on in, and that's the way that went down.
Yeah, that's pretty much in that book I bought called The Sword of Constantine, and it talks about, you know, how all this stuff happened that way, and that he really didn't accept Christ until he was on his deathbed. So,
yep.
You know, and it talks about, you know, it basically talks about how, you know, how they went into Egypt, you know what I'm saying, and during the time of Serapis. And Serapis is basically pretty much, you know, a little spinoff of Ptolemy the First.
The P is silent from what they say, and I say it just like how you said, but like a lot of people are like, man, the P is silent, so it's from Ptolemy, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sotir the First, and he changed history forever. Like the brief history on him is that when they was going into the temples to worship after Alexander the Great, because I'm not gonna call him great. After Alexander the Greek died, and they was dividing up the areas that they conquered. So, you know, the four generals, it was Ptolemy and the other fellas. I can't really think of their names right now. Like, I didn't take no notes on that because that's not what we're talking about. But it was four generals, and Ptolemy, he wanted Egypt. At this time, it's Egypt, or Egyptos, as they say in Greek. So, you know, he understood that when they went into the temples to worship, like, they had a wooden statue of Asar in there. And you know, he told the priest, you know, our people, when we go worship together, make us a statue that looks like me, you know, like me and my people. And that way, you know, put it next to your statue and we can worship together. And naturally the priest was like, hell no, we not doing that. And, you know, then naturally he started killing people until a couple of them was willing to do it. I mean, he was taking the scrolls from the temples. He was shutting the temples down and things like that, because he understood that the priests were, like, in competition with each other to a certain degree. So, you know, he understood the power of knowledge. And eventually they created the Statue of Serapis. And then, you know, that changed history forever. That's how worshiping white people came to be. Because before that time, there was never ever a white deity built before that time.
He was the first. And I was watching that movie Agora, and they had it in there to talk about Serapis. It basically pretty much gave the whole story on how when the Greeks came and invaded, whatever, and, you know, pretty much stole everything. You know, it's like they took all this information. You know what I'm saying? They took the book they knew about.
I can't think of the name of the other movie. That might be the movie you talking about. Like, you talk about the movie where they invade Egypt, but they don't ever show them going to invade and take over because they don't want to show that black people was there. And as the movie keeps going, they show when the Greeks are in and when the Greeks are in power, but they don't want to show who was on the throne first. That we was on the throne first and they overtook us.
Right.
But it's an old movie. I can't think of the name of it.
So how much you think of, like, them invading, basically coming there to learn, you know what I'm saying, about all the myths and stuff that was in Kemet? How much information do you understand that they took, you know what I'm saying, and took it back to their culture, because they weren't the civilized people? You know?
They took all of it. Like, you know, like in the beginning, you know, I mean, still to this day, like, our people, like we very accepting. And we are big on teaching people things that we know and how to better themselves. Like, we wasn't never into conquering the world and just being totally dominant and forcing people to take our way of life on. So we taught people many, many things, and people would just take our stories and go back to where they're from and turn our stories into their own stories. That's why, like, if you, once you know the story of Asar, Aset, and Heru, and you listen to any other story, it's gonna rival it like very closely. It's gonna be some similarity to it.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, because like I said, doing some research and like I said for the show, man, it's came across a lot of that. You know, everything sounds the same, especially when they come to Krishna. You know, born of a virgin, his earthly father was a carpenter. You know, his birth was a sign of a star in the east. He was attended by shepherds. You know, you can go on, man. Stuff like that. There's so much stuff that after reading the story of ancient Kemet, man, and to see how people, you know, pretty much kind of personified it, you know what I'm saying, the person that they made as far as a deity, you know, it just, to me, man, it all sounds the same. It's got the same agenda, you know what I'm saying, for one reason. So when you talk about creation, as we talked about earlier, you know, there's two theories people use to explain to people how we're here. You got the theory of evolution, and you got the theory of creationism, which is the foundation of most religions, because you go pretty much the story, you know, in the beginning, this happened, you know, then that happened, because people want to know how they got here. And I think those two theories, you know, which you look up the word theory, it's a Greek word, theorial, that means to see, to look at, to observe. It's not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, you can't take it as something that literally happened because they can't explain it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, those stories, evolution, like most people don't believe in the theory of evolution, you know, and in the theory of creationism. That's all, most of this stuff is, you know, that religion is based on, because it gives people a starting point to, like, you know, if you want to know, how did the world begin? How did we get here? Where did we come from? You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that, things of that nature. But a lot
it's,
of times,
it's
man,
so many stories. Everybody got a different story and a different version of the story. I mean, like how we was talking about earlier with the Chinese story, the Mayan story, it doesn't matter whose story you go to. Like, it's all gonna come with some great dude and some great woman. You know what I'm saying? Like the Chinese story, like the woman, she had a snake body, and you know she had a snake body. Like, she didn't have feet, she had a snake body, and she was human up top, and she gave man feet and stuff like that. And you know, like the dude came from the primordial egg and things like that. Or I mean, when truthfully, it's no way to really know. I mean, it's no way to really know, because none of us was alive back then. So I mean, naturally, all we could go off of is the stories that was told and passed down. So I mean, so for most Christians, the story of the Bible is the best thing they could go with, and they'll argue you to death that that's the truth and most accurate story when the story is only 6,000 years old. Like, paper is older than that story. You know what I'm saying? The creation of paper, you know, from the papyrus plant, which is a rice plant, is older than that story. And naturally, of course, man been writing in stone way longer than that. So, I mean, there's so many stories that precede that, but, I mean, it's hard to tell our people that, and it's hard to teach them that, unless they do the research on their own and begin to see for themselves. Because telling people, like when you tell it to people, or if I'm telling the information to people and I give them the stuff to look at, naturally most of our people, they're not going to look it up. They're just going to look at you like you're crazy.
Exactly. Because the Christian and the Jewish in Islam, you know, they share the same creation story. And that was, you know, written pretty much around the 6th century B.C. And then you go to the Chinese Christian story. It was written 400 B.C. And for those people that don't know what B.C. is, B.C. is you got to go from bigger number to smaller number. So, you know, the Chinese Christian story is older than the Christian story. And you got to go to look at the Egyptian Christian myth, you know, 4,000 B.C. You know, you can go on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? Look at the Mayans. 16th.
Yeah, I mean, most people are familiar with the Mayan story and the story in Egypt. Like most of our people, we don't know much about the Chinese story, but I mean, we know damn well those civilizations is older than Christianity and anything having to do with Christianity. It's just when you're talking about God to our people, you know, that supersedes everything. Like, God ain't nothing older than God. God is the Alpha and the Omega, and they're going to get the quote in Scripture, but the word God itself is not even that old. It's a Germanic word. So then, but that's just the word. But I mean, but if nobody was ever saying it, then who knew about a God? if nobody ever used the word at certain times in history. So I mean, like it's so much common sense stuff that we got to take away from stuff, that we don't take away from stuff, or we don't look at stuff. I mean, just truthfully, I mean, to anybody listening, I just ask that sometimes you take the time out to just grab your phone, press the microphone, and ask for the origin of certain things. It'll give you a basic foundation of things to look for. And then you can go from there and start finding books or go places and search Amazon, and certain books will pop up. I mean, I'm not saying that every book has the exact and all solidified, no questionable truth, but it'll give you a foundation of some things to think about. And you can always use your common sense and take a couple of other stories with whatever you're reading. I mean, this is how I research, so I'll break it down for everybody else. What I do is I'm going to take those who are for one particular subject, those who are against the particular subject, and I find all the points where they all meet at, because that's how you kind of establish a fact. Like, if he's saying it and he's for it, and he's saying it and he's definitely against it, and they both saying the same thing, then this right here has to be the factual point of what they agree on. Then I take the things that they disagree on, and I look at each other's points of why he disagrees with it, and why he somewhat agrees, or why he be like, this guy, he's just taking this and he's twisting it his own certain way. Because I mean, because anybody that writes any information, you're learning it from somebody else if you wasn't there and giving a firsthand account. So I mean we all did the rumor story in grade school, where you tell the story to the first person. By the time they get to the last person, it's never what was said in the beginning. When you whispering, because I don't know what it is about comprehension and people listening, but the story always changed. So I mean, and that's how it's been throughout history.
So a question. Let's discuss. I know I want to ask you a question about the story of Noah. It's actually a flood story, you know what I'm saying, that predate that by thousands of years. And when you look when the Bible was actually written, because the first five books of the Bible is considered the Torah, you know what I'm saying, the first five books of Moses. And it was written 500 years after Moses, you know what I'm saying? So based on stories like Noah and the flood and Jonah being in the belly of a whale, you know, it's like, what story is that? I forgot what it is. What story is that that's in Kemet that talks about the flood? You know that one?
It's Khufu, and his boat is called the New Unk. His boat was called the New Unk. So his boat was built for the celestial Nile, not the actual Nile, but the celestial Nile, meaning the sky. And you know, basically floating back to Sirius A and Sirius B, which is two stars that are not visible with the eye that the Dogon people and the Twa people talked about, or that our ancestors talked about, and knew that it was there, and know that, you know, like so as above, so is below. So everything that's in space is here on Earth. And, you know, so a lot of the same particles, a lot of the same gases and stuff like that. So we understand that, like, we're always talking about extraterrestrial life and alien life and things of that nature. Like, as far as the deformed beings and stuff like that, I don't know if I really want to dig too deep into that. I mean, I believe it to a certain extent, but I know that we as man are not of this earth, like, so to speak, totally. I mean, like, we can't have so much knowledge of the universe and not be of the universe. But the story, I mean, to answer the question, the story is from Khufu, and he was talking about sailing the celestial Nile, and his boat was called the New Unk, and that's how they came up with the story of Noah. You know, he was talking about, basically his story is the flooding of matter, which also became the flooding of man, you know, matter, atoms, ions, so forth and so on. That's what his story was based on. And then, you know, the Greeks listen to this story, and they talking about a great flood. So naturally, the Greeks are people with low-level thinking, only think about water and the water covering the earth. in a boat, and that's how they come up with the story of Noah. I mean, truthfully, there's no way you could convince me that a boat 475 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 30 and a half feet high can house every animal. There's no way that's like three times smaller than the Titanic. But we're still discovering new animals today. So, I mean, it don't even make sense.
Yeah. That's like I was reading up on the story of Moses. You know, they got this book called Bible Myth and Parallels. And it talks about this guy named, this mythical guy in Sumeria called Sargon of Agade. And you line Sargon of Agade story up with the story of Moses, and they pretty much, you know, parallel. And Sargon of Agade was thousands of years before Moses. They talk about how, he was born hidden, he was put in the basket and raised by, by royalty. The story pretty much lines up perfectly, So the thing is like, that story was a myth, It wasn't, Sargon of Agade wasn't a real person, But it talks about, I think they tell those myths, man, to explain. The guy called it, anthropomorphic representation. I mean, it explains to you what it would look like if it exists in person. So I think a whole lot of stuff that people read and take as something that literally happened, I mean, you got to apply a little bit of common sense, logic, and reason. I think the Bible, well, not think, I know the Bible is written in code. So you have to really understand the code of it. To really grasp it, whatever. Because if you just
now we can get into that too. Like I can break a couple of codes down real quick if you want to get into that.
Let's do it, man. I'm game.
All right, let's get into the numerology real quick. How familiar are you with the number 9 and its significance?
It's significant because
you
can multiply
like,
nine by
like,
any other number.
Like the number 9,
mm-hmm.
it resembles the swirling back of your head. It resembles the shape of like your ear and many other things. Like if you was to YouTube right now, the importance of the number 9 in math, and it'll give you a video, and it'll start breaking down the 9 and what it means and what the shape means, and then it'll start going into mathematics and how 9 is divided. Like a 90-degree angle is naturally the number 9. So if you know what I'm saying, if you're doing 360, let's start at 360. 3 plus 6 plus 0 is 9. You go 180. 1 plus 8 is 9. From half of 180 is 90. So, and you naturally just 9 plus 0 is 9. And then you got a 45-degree angle. 4 plus 5 is 9. As you keep going down, 22.5 is 22.5. So 2 plus 2 is 4 plus the 0.5 is 9. And you just keep going, and it's going to always equal 9. And if you're doing multiplication, 9 times 1 is 9, 9 times 2 is 18. It's going to count up and down in mathematical form.
Right.
Now I'm going to relate that to the Bible, okay? There are 9 generations from Adam to Noah, and then there's 9 more generations from Noah to Abraham. And Abraham was 99 when he begat Isaac. So you're seeing the significance of the number 9. Like, that's one of the codes in the Bible. I could go down through each number from 1... 2, 3, 4. I mean, I can use each number and show you how it's coded in the Bible. I mean, it's heavily coded, and I learned that. I got a book on numerology. It's called the Divine Triangle. I can't think of the rest of it, but it's the Divine Triangle, and it's a book on numerology, and they dedicated a whole section of it, and they was talking about the numerology in the Bible. And it's heavily coded. Like, the reason Jesus sent his disciples out 2 by 2 is because the number 2 is duality. Significance of the number 2 is duality, whether it be male or female, whether it be positive or negative, or whether it be good or evil. So the reason he sent them out 2 by 2 is because wherever one is strong, the other one may be weak. So that was his reason for doing it. Who's strong, who in what area, and who's weak in what area, and I'm sure he paired them that way just for the story's sake. But that's It's just a duality of it being strength in numbers. You know, two heads are better than one. That's what we get that saying. Two heads are better than one. So it's so many codes in the Bible. The number four in the Bible, like the four beasts, four horsemen. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark, hold it right there. We're going to take a break right quick, man.
All right, no problem. 6 minutes. Yeah.
Bucker, 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 bucker. Ha ha. You know the devil. This is me, though. Beast by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the four coming live, Future Shock. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep in orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted powerless, up out of this towering infernal, my ink so hot it burned through the journal, I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway and Myrtle, hip hop past all your tall social hurdles like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor better keep your alarm set, streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring, say it back in with your sleep, it's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip back, you dead now, killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow, the numbers game but shit don't add up somehow, like I got 16 to 32 bars to rocket, but only 15% of profits, ever seen my pockets like 69 billion in the last 20 years, spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black, that's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap, 16 ounces to a 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sentence hearing and you no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens of prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young blood can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. Snoo Map is whipping motherfuckers' ass. You wanna know how to rhyme? You better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty most desperate.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mighty most desperate.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
One universal law, but two sides to every story. Three strikes and you bitten for life. Mandatory. Four MCs murdered in the last 4 years. I ain't trying to be the fifth when the millennium is here. Yo, it's 6 million ways to die from the seven deadly thrills. 8 year olds getting found with 9 mils. It's 10 p.m. where you see that. What's the deal? They on the hill pumping krills to keep their bellies filled. Lighting the ass with heavy steel. Sights on the pretty shit in life. Young soldiers trying to earn their next strike. When the average minimum wage is 5.15, you best believe you gotta find a new ground to get cream. The white unemployment rate is nearly more than triple for black. So frontliners got their gun in your back. Bubble and crack, jewels after robbery to combat poverty and end up in the global jail economy. Stiffer stipulations attached to each sentence. Budget cutbacks but increased police presence. And even if you get out of prison, still living, join the other 5 million under state supervision. This is business. No faces, just lines and statistics from your phone, your zip code, the SSI digits. The system break man channeling women in the figures. Two columns for who is and who ain't niggas. Numbers is hard and real and they never have feelings. But you push too hard, even numbers got limits. Why did one straw break the camel's back? Here's the secret. The million other straws underneath it. It's all mathematics.
Mighty most
definite. It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Guys, welcome back to the show. We took a little break. Hey, Mark, you still there, man?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Okay. Let's break down the number four, man. Let's get a little bit
deeper. Yeah, I was doing number four. It's a lot of ways to look at the number four. I use one of the definitions. I'm gonna pull it up. I use one of the definitions. So I don't want to say. Like I like to put stuff in my own words, but because of the sake of the show, I want to give people like something more accurate and something that they can go on. Like they say, the number four is life path is compatibility and destiny. It means with four sides of the same side, a square has no weak points. It is organized, solid, and enduring. In the spiritual significance of numbers, this is the foundation for numerology, meaning it is built on the number four. So in my own words, what I was going to say is four is the foundation. You know, in metaphysics, so to speak, the number four is the foundation because 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10. You know, and 10 is completion. And like the definition was just saying that I was reading, the four sides of the square, there's no weak point. It's all 90 degrees and all the 360, all equal 360 or 360 degrees, which, you know what I'm saying, which a square and a circle is the same, but they're not the same shapes. But regardless, they're the same. And using it, tying it into the Bible, now that you know the foundation of it, tying it into the Bible, there are four beasts in the book of Ezekiel, and then there are four horsemen. Okay, all four of each of the beasts in Ezekiel mean fire, earth, wind, or water. If you look at what the beast is saying, or like in Freemasonry, it's the ox, the eagle, the man, and the lion. And all four of those tie into fire, earth, wind, and water. And that's what those things mean in the Bible for us, the number four. I mean, I could go on with other numbers if you want, yeah. Bro, but those are some of the key factors in the Bible.
So I got a question. Let's kind of get back on subject. Thanks for that. Drop some knowledge on that number four and number nine, bro. Let's talk about this death and resurrection. And these stories that predate, well, these mythical stories that predate, you know, even the death and resurrection of Christ. You know, I can list a few. You know, Osiris, he was killed by his brother Set, resurrected by Set. You know, Odonasis killed by a boar, a Hun, but Venus returning back to Earth. Even Baal challenged the god of death, Mot, he was killed. He was avenged in his death by his sister. You know, and then he was to return back to Earth. I mean, this purpose of these creation stories and this death and resurrection story, so much of this stuff, man, is that's why, I mean, it's like, I'm glad you gave us a better understanding of what paganism is, but mythology, man, for me, man, is just
it's some truth to it, and like it's like I think a lot gets lost if you don't sit down and speak with old people and to learn the origin. I mean, but now that we have these phones that we have, when you got a computer in your hand. And knowledge is right at your hand. It's so much that you can pull up, and you can see what's true about some stories and what's false. Like the old saying, "Pot to piss in, and window to throw it out of." It's a big time story behind it. Like for those listening, hit the microphone on your phone and ask Google where that story come from. What's the origin of that? And you'll be amazed. So, but as far as the resurrection stories, I mean, truthfully, The oldest story that we know, or the oldest story that I go back to, or that I consider the foundation of it, it just got to do with a hard on. So we have a big obelisk, or which is really what it's called, a Tekken, sitting in D.C. And if you were to go there, or you get an aerial view, you see that the Tekken or the obelisk or the Washington Monument the grass is cut like the physical pieces, and that's basically like the cosmic pussy, so to speak. So the big dick is sitting in the middle of the pussy, and that's what it is. And whether you want to believe that or not, that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely, man. That obelisk was definitely taken from Major Kimmy. You know what I'm saying? From Osiris. And when I saw it, I went to D.C. before a couple of times, and I seen it. You know what I'm saying? They took us to watch the monument as a kid. You know. But then to read up on and understand what it was, man, it just, to me, it's so funny that most people don't know what it is and don't know where it's taken from. It's so much that was taken from, you know what I'm saying, from our ancestors. You know, it's
the whole layout of D.C., the whole layout.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like I say, you got technology at your hand. If you type in the layout of Washington, D.C., and you'll see. it's so much Freemason stuff and or Masonic stuff, I mean, whatever you want to call it, but it all comes from ancient Kemet. And if I mean, you can look it up and see it for yourself. I mean, like you don't have to take my word, you don't have to take Brother Dick's word. Look it up, you know, and start digging to always be sure. I mean, like I say, anything we talking about, like, I mean, I'd be happy to give any references. I mean, I'm sitting outside in the car right now, but I didn't, like the book on numerology, I can go in the house and get the book and give y'all the authors and the name of all of that. But I mean, it's like I'm happy to share any information that I have. For anybody listening, or any, you could just look me up on Facebook, Martin Brown, and send me a friend request. And we'll go from there. I mean, I'll share anything that I've ever read, any lecture that I've ever watched, and any scholar that I've ever paid attention to, whether they be black or white. Because knowledge, for me, knowledge has no color. Knowledge just is. And whether we want to admit it or not, we got to turn to the white people because they control everything. So you have to. I mean, I love our black scholars, and naturally I'm going to go through them first. But we got to deal with the white folks. Dr. Ben said it. We got to deal with them.
Yeah. People like Gerald Massey, The Book of the Beginning. That book's
The Book of the Beginning, Ancient Egypt, Light of the World, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, definitely, man.
I love his version of The Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night, or what they call The Book of the Dead. He has an interesting version. Wallace E.A. Budge has an interesting version, and I just recently purchased Murtagh Ashby's version, and I'm currently reading it right now.
Yeah, I bought I got one or two by Rodney Neffer. I got his, and it's funny, man, that
he has the Book of the Dead. That's my dog right there. Like I have the 11 Laws of Maat and Medinetta Volume 1, 2, and 3 from him.
Yeah, I got all the
but
if
he got
man.
A Book of the Dead, I need to get that. But you about to make me order that right now. I'm about to get on Amazon right now and look for that.
Yeah. So what would you say, man, to people that, you know, kind of that don't know the history of their religion? Like, you know what I'm saying? At one point we did. Because I didn't know for a long time, you know what I'm saying, until I took them on myself. Like, where would you tell them to start? Or what book would you tell them to start with?
7 years ago, I didn't know. This is my cry to my people. The first book to me that you need to read, I'm talking the very first book, if you don't know nothing, have not read nothing, but you're interested, you need to get The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Wilson. First of all, you need to understand that you were lied to and how you were lied to. So, to me, that's a good foundational book. I mean, it wasn't the first book that I bought. The first book I bought was Black Man of the Nile by Dr. Ben. But to me, when you don't know nothing, you start with that book, and then you get The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. Start with those two books, and then expand from there.
It's a good book.
Those are my two books that I say to start with. I mean, some people say Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad is a good book to start with. I mean, it's so many books. It all depends on where you're at mentally. But to me, if you don't know nothing, you need to understand that you've been lied to your whole life. No, whether you want to believe it or not, I mean, if I enslave your people and eventually I set y'all free and y'all under our rule, it's no way I'm going to tell you niggas the truth of everything. It's no way. I've been lying to you your whole life. There were no schools and no plantations, so all we learned was what Master told us. So, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, it don't matter if you want to believe it or you want to run with it. That's the truth. And so if I'm enslaving your people, I mean, I'm not going to give you the keys to empower yourself. There's no way. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. You can look at that movie, Birth of a Nation. You know, that lady asked Nat Turner to come into her house as a kid. He saw all those books on the shelf. He went to read for one of those books, and she took him right to the Bible. So this is the only book you should read. It's a reason behind that. You know what I'm saying? It's a reason why the Bible is the only thing they let us read. You know, and I said, my thing is, I don't try to deter people away from what they believe in, because I believe what people believe in is sacred to them. But I believe, and I'm telling you that you should be aware of the history of what you believe in. That's just a known fact for me, because something I wanted to know. You know, I've been reading for a little bit over 7 years, and I'm still learning. You know what I'm saying? Why should I believe in that? You know, where did it come from? You know what I'm saying? And why was that the only book, you know what I'm saying, given to our ancestors to read? It's a reason behind that, you know? So, like I said, we ain't trying to deter nobody from what you believe in. You believe what you believe in, but all we doing is presenting you with information and fact that you can look up for yourself, you know, and gain more information. You know, and it's up to you whether or not you choose to keep going with it.
I'm not even going to lie, Brother Dick. I'm trying to deter you. I'm trying to deter you because there is no power in believing in nothing. I mean, believing in yourself is power in it, but believing in anything outside of yourself, there is no power in it. None. Prayer does not change nothing. I mean, it's a lot of people that will call in and could give us some personal stories. All I'm going to say is your faith for yourself cannot be no stronger than anybody else's. So what make you think that you more blessed than anybody else? For this is for my church people. Like, you'll swear that you're more blessed than anybody else. So if, let's say, your mom is getting ready to go have a surgery and your best friend's mom is getting ready to go have a surgery at the same time, but just coincidentally, this is happening. Both of y'all believe in Jesus, so forth and so on. One of y'all's mom passed. Everybody prayed, so whose faith was stronger? Or are you going to have the common sense to know that one of y'all had a better surgeon? Or whoever had the better surgeon had the better hands that day. So your life was in his hands, and naturally y'all would say that it was in God's hand and God got the last say. No. If he doing heart surgery, let's say they both had heart surgery. If one cat is fresh out of school and the other dude is a 30-year vet, I don't want the cat that's fresh out of school operating on me. Give me the dude that been doing this for 30 years because he didn't ran into a lot of problems. He went through his trials and errors and mistakes, so he know what to do more than this cat that's fresh out of school. I mean, that's common sense, but that's just how I think. Yeah. I mean, to each his own. At the end of the day, if you still want to believe, go ahead. By all means, go ahead. But, I mean, common sense should tell you, man. It ain't, because if you have so much faith, I ask you to pray that our people come together and I join your church tomorrow. If our people come together overnight, but by some miracle, I will join your church tomorrow and denounce everything that I've ever learned and read, and I just believe in Jesus and nothing else. And I only read the Bible. But we both know that ain't going to happen. And then you'll tell me that God ain't got nothing to prove to me. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. People hold their beliefs sacred, so, you know, my thing is, you know, kind of like, the, you know, the opposite, not really the opposite, it's just, you know, people ask me questions, I present them information, you know what I'm saying, either take it or leave it, so, you know, and I just, me, my thing is, I use a whole lot of logic, reason, and common sense, and they're just me.
Me and you both, that's why I use the illustration of the surgery, like, you ever seen Dr. Strange?
No, I haven't seen that, bro.
Decent movie, bruh. It's heavy in metaphysics and it's heavy in symbolism. Like, all right, on this particular movie, you know, Dr. Strange, his name is Stephen Strange. He was one of the best surgeons, one of the best neurologists, whatever, brain surgeon. He was one of the best, one of those. I can't think of the word or say it right. So one of the other doctors came to him and said, she have a problem. She's like, look at this. What do you see? And then, the guy, his nervous system was shutting down because he had a particular bullet that was lodged in his brain. And it was shutting his nervous system down. Thus, the other doctor wanted to pronounce him dead. So he's like, we got to hurry up. So they run up on the other doctor, and, you know, naturally the guy's laying in the bed. So he was like, we need to go operate. He was like, what y'all talking about? Like, I already pronounced this dude dead. We finna take him downstairs and harvest his organs, so forth and so on. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, look at this. What do you see? So then, you know, so they explained to the other doctor why his nervous system was being shut down and that he was dying, but he's not dead yet. So then he goes in and he pulls the bullet out and he saved the dude's life. And for me, the light on, I mean, I already knew, but that gave me a whole, something to use to show people. So I posted the clip of this movie of that particular scene, and it shows that your hands are in the hands of doctors a lot of times, of being misdiagnosed or being diagnosed correctly or just a bad surgery.
Yeah, definitely, man. For me, man, it just, I know a few people, well, yeah, I can say a few, whatever. Like this one lady I knew, they're just not really getting off the subject, but they talk about, we're talking about how people believe so much in their religion that it's, you know, it baffles me sometimes that, you know, that common sense and logic and reason don't even take effect. Now, this lady, she was a Jehovah's Witness, right? She had three small kids, and she was sick, and she needed a blood transfusion. You know, she refused to have one. And guess what? She died. You know, and so now she left her kids. I mean, for me, you got to look at the point for me. That's being selfish on one part, that you put your whatever you believe in over the life of your children. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I can go on and name a few. This one, the other lady I knew, she had breast cancer. She was dying of breast cancer. You know, she wouldn't go to the doctor because she believed the power of God was going to heal her. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, 6 months later, she died. So, to me, man, is that, you know, I don't care what you believe in. I mean, it's, you can't be that selfish.
Have some common sense. Like Dr. Dean used to have an illustration. He say you have to have some type of intelligence. So if you walk out in the street and you get hit by a car, he say, I don't want a preacher. I want a bone specialist, because the preacher is not going to do me no good. And believing that God is going to heal me is not going to do me any good, because I know that I'm going to need to see a bone specialist. I'm going to need a cast and some nuts and bolts to be put in my leg. You know, if you're of a certain age, you know your bone is not going to heal like that no more. So you know they're going to have to put plates, screws, nuts and bolts in your leg to, you know what I'm saying, to fix your leg for you to ever walk again. If not, you'll never walk again. That's common sense.
Yeah, common sense.
But I mean, common sense is not common nowadays.
Nah, not too much. So, I mean, to kind of recap on what we talked about, you know, paganism, mythology, you know what I'm saying, and when you said metaphysics, man, can you explain to people what it means? Because a lot of people don't know what that term means.
I'm gonna give my definition, and then I'll give what definition. Like if you was to pull it up, what a definition. Okay, my definition is the all and everything that is nothing. And so, like a basic definition is, metaphysics is a branch of philosophy exploring the fundamental questions, including the nature of concepts of like, being, existence, and reality. So I say the all and everything that is nothing because everything comes from nothing, so to speak. Like we know that we are a spirit as man, and no one has ever seen a spirit. So the spirit had to manifest itself. Or like how I say, God was hovering over the face of the deep, just using the Bible. So for Bible people, I'm going to quote y'all book because there's some good stuff in it, but even though I don't believe in it, but I'm just using this for my illustration. But God was hovering over the face of the deep. And then, you know, like God, it has no shape, no form. Like he told Moses, I am that I am, meaning that I just am, or I just exist. So as spirit, the spirit just exists, or energy just exists. Like it has no form, but it can take any form that it chooses. So when I say the all and everything that is nothing, it's just like thought. Like if you look around right now, or you look around your house, or you look around your room, or if you're sitting in your car like I am, you can look around the car. Everything was man-made. But somebody had to sit down and think about everything, like from the clothes that you have on to the house that you live in. Somebody had to think on how to build and construct these things. So it all came from the mind, and the mind made it matter. Like how we looked at trees and know that we saw one log floating in the water. So we was like, well, shit, I can make a raft. So you tie 6 logs together, and now you got a raft. And then eventually we was like, well, shit, if I take a tree big enough and carve it out, then I can make a boat. And then we was like, well, if I cut the tree down and I make boards and I nail the boards together and do certain things, I can make a ship, and you know, and just so forth and so on. So it all came from thought. So the all and everything, there's nothing. And that's a decent breakdown of it, at least to me.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, kind of get back on the subject, because I had to ask you that question. Can you list like 6 books that you recommend that people that listen to get? That are must have books.
The must haves for me. Like I said first, The Miseducation of the Negro, Carter G. Woodson. Black Man of the Nile and His Family, Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan, is a must-have to me. The Destruction of the Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams is a must-have. The 11 Laws of God, The Book of Ma'at by Ra Nefer Amen is a must. Also, his Metaneta Volume 1. He has a series of Metanetas. To me, Volume 1 is a must-have. You know, book is probably by 50-60 books. I mean, by 50-60 books for that book. That book is a must-have. Stolen Legacy by George G.M. James is a good book. I'm not going to say that one is a must-have, but it's a good book to have. The Message to the Black Man, Elijah Muhammad, I'm going to say that that's a must-have. What else I wanted to see this? It's so many books. African Origin of Biological Psychiatry by Richard King. Must have. That is a must have. That's for people who kind of want to take the next level. Like, but that's a must have book. That's probably about 7 or 8 books I didn't say. But it's another book that I want to say. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I got so much stuff on my list, and I got so many books. I'm trying to go through the things that I have. I mean, I can't give you a specific book on symbolism and numerology because they all are good. I say get you some books on symbolism, and get you some books on numerology. Those are must haves because everything that you see around you has a logo or some type of symbol. Like Chevy has its symbol. You know a Chevy car or a Chevy truck when you see it. You know a Bentley when you see it. You know it's going to have some type of symbolism, which comes from the sun, disc, and wind. Like the Chrysler symbol, the Bentley symbol are both the same. It's the sun, disc, and wings. You know, and that has its significant meaning. So books on symbolism, books on numerology, Miseducation of the Negro, with Carter G. Woodson, The Destruction of Civilization, Chancellor Williams, Black Man of the Nile and His Family, Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan, African Origin of Biological Psychiatry, Richard King. I mean, any book by Dr. Clark. I mean, he got so many books.
Yeah,
I can't even think of none of the names. And, he got a lot of good books. Give me some books. Give me some more books.
I know one for sure that I recommend that people get. It's the Ultimate Encyclopedia of Mythology by Rachel Storm. That book, man, is every mythology you want to know about anything dealing with religion, anything dealing with God and goddesses, and any information you want to know. That book is probably about 200 pages long, and it's big, you know what I'm saying? But I got a lot of information out of there. You can tie different stories together and see how a lot of the stuff we talked about tonight kind of the same, just bits and pieces of it was changed, but still the same story, still the same concept of, you know, of this cosmic dummy mythology on how creation took place, and you know what I'm saying, and how most of these God and goddesses, and you know, dealing with death and resurrection gods, and dealing with virgin birth and immaculate conception. You know, you can, like I said, you can Google this stuff up, man. You can type in a name, you know, and definitely read through it. And like I said, from a number of scholars, you know, I found from several scholars, I found, you know, I'm not just don't rely on one. It's like I just don't rely on Google. You know, I read 15 books in 3 months. You know what I'm saying? That I would. Ready to learn some stuff, and most of the stuff I know because I put in my hard work, you know what I'm saying, and I read stuff written by people that was against it, and I read books by people that believed in it, you know what I'm saying, and like kind of like you said, I just gathered information together, find a happy medium, and see you know what I'm saying, what it is, because the story is pretty much the same. I mean, ain't no way around it. You know, it's no way around it. And that's why I definitely, definitely believe, based on research, you know what I'm saying, and facts and different sources, that all religion is based on mythology and some sort of paganism, you know what I'm saying, for his worshiping birthday of different gods. You know, December 25th is a celebration of a birthday for a lot of people. Said, you know, Constantine himself, you know, ordered Christ's birthday to be December 25th, or to be celebrated on December 25th. So, there's so much
right,
stuff. It's so much stuff we do out of not knowing, you know what I'm saying, based on tradition of what we were taught, with no information or no knowledge of why we do what we do. You know, why you celebrate Christmas, you know what I'm saying? Why you put up a tree, you know what I'm saying? All this stuff like that. We just do it because, you know, something to do, or we was taught that way, you know what I'm saying? Information passed down from parents, you know what I'm saying, to grandparents, from generation to generation. And we do stuff, you know what I'm saying, out of not knowing, you know what I'm saying, but out of tradition of what we've been taught. So
right.
My thing was I had to, you know, my thing, I wanted to know why we do this and why we do that. You know what I'm saying? Because even your Bible tell you, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You're just doing stuff because my mama did it, or, you know what I'm saying? That's the way my family, that's the way I was brought up. You know what I'm saying? You could be doing something out of ignorance, you know what I'm saying, without information, without the right information, the knowledge of what you're doing. So, like I said, you know,
right.
We just want to basically, you know, talk about this history of this religion, you know what I'm saying, and to get a better understanding of why you believe what you believe, you know what I'm saying, and and from there, you make your own choices. But that's it for me, man. I thank you for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you sharing your knowledge with me and with the people that's listening. And,
hey, anytime, King. I mean, like, I pulled up some more books. The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ by Levi is a good book for, like, for people that like, you want to dig into. And to, you know, like the Jesus mythology and understand where that came from. Or you could check out Gerald Massey has a book on what is it called? Gerald Massey's book. I think it's the Historical Mythical Christ. That is a great book. That's a must have. And The African Origin of Civilization by Sheikh Anta Diop. I would say that's another must-have. I mean, it's so many books, though. Like, it's really all on what you're looking for and what your interest is at the time. Like you know, naturally, most of us will start off with history and want to learn where things come from to have a foundation, and then you just build from there, and you start coming off. The ISIS Papers by Francis Chris Wilson is a must-have to me. I mean, it's so many books that are just a must-have. Because I like to touch on many things from many different angles. But I mean, by all means, King, I mean, anytime you need me, just let me know. All
right, man.
I'm all for it.
You list the books we just named, I'll post them on my page so you can guys can purchase them if you want to. Like I said, the information is available. So you know, we can fix the plate, but we can't make you eat, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to leave it at that. So I thank you guys for tuning in to the Hour of Truth. And see you guys next week. Hey, thanks again, Mark.
Sir, no problem. Peace, King and Queens.